could go on and on and on and say an awful lot of nice things about him, but most of them you already know. If you know him, you don't even have to have me say anything. But for those of you that might not know him, he's been a part of this work since it was founded. And when me and my family first started coming to this church back in I visited in the summer times when I was here from college, when I was off from college, but we came as full-time members in 1984. And ever since 1984 until the day that Pat and Debbie Dean moved away to North Carolina, he was a part of everything that went on around here. He was an integral part of the work of this church, and a friend and a brother and an encouragement and a great example. And I'm thankful. I count him as my friend and fellow laborer, and I'm really happy that he's here this morning and going to preach to us now. So God bless you, brother.
Pastor, thank you so much, brother. I appreciate your kindness. If you've got your Bible, and I know you do, I want you to go to Psalm chapter 27 with me. And I'm going to, I had an old hymn that I wanted to refer to, so if you'll just let me put this over here. I was Jesus Christ captured me on an Easter Sunday morning in 1970. So this coming Easter, it is 2011 now, I have to keep reminding myself of that. It'll be 41 years, yes, 41 years. Math was not always my strong suit, so I got to run numbers through my mind. I went to church. I went to a good Bible believing Baptist church. There's a whole lot of good Bible believing Baptist churches. Don't hold that against anybody, all right? I know what we are. Okay, don't hold that. We're part of a little Baptist Bible believing Baptist church. They're about this size right now. And people getting saved all over the place. They love the book, man. And they're just full of the joy of the Lord. So I'm going to say something right now. If the Spirit of God, I know we're Northerners. I know we have a way of being kind of, you know, sedate sometimes. But if the Spirit of God gets a hold of your heart, don't be ashamed to raise your hand, even if you don't have a question. Don't be ashamed to say, amen, glory to God. You know, my God's exciting. There's nothing boring about my God. That's the truth. This place right here this morning ought to have more fun, more joy, more excitement than anything that hits the floor of Madison Square Garden. And that's the God's truth. I have the King, the God of the universe, living inside me today. Now, that does not make me better than anybody else, but I just want you to know something. I got him right in here. I don't know. I don't understand all the theology sometimes. Maybe he's up here. Maybe he's here. Maybe he's in my kneecaps. Maybe he's all through the body. However you want to think it in your mind doesn't mean anything to me this morning. But if you're saved, you've got the God of the universe. You got the God that when he was telling the creative story in Genesis, he got to the part about the stars. Did you ever read what he said? And he made the stars also. It was like an afterthought with God. It was like he just wanted you to know, oh, by the way, forgot one thing, guys. He went, made the stars also. That's the God that you've got living inside you this morning. That's the God that gave you His surname. I carry God's name this morning. What a wonderful privilege. Now I'm already, I got notes here. I always have notes. My problem is I never get to them. This is my home. I know I live in China Grove, North Carolina. We've been there for, it'll be April 17, 4 years ago this year, April 17. We pulled out and said goodbye. And I will say it to my beloved church. I want to be honest with you. There's not one thing I like about New York City. That's God's truth, brother. I didn't say people. I don't like skyscrapers. I don't like concrete. I love a tree. I'm a tree hugger at heart. Where I live, it's country. You've got cows. You've got horses. You've got, it's farm country. It's just wonderful to live there. I don't like anything about the geography of New York City, but I'll tell you what happened 35 years ago, and we've been absent for four, almost. Because of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone, I fell in love with people. I fell in love with people who were steeped and trapped in a religious system that named the name of Christ, but knew nothing about heaven, knew nothing about hope, knew nothing about salvation, knew nothing about that wonderful book that won me to Jesus Christ when I was 20. And I just had the privilege we did to follow an old timer. And that old timer now I think is 87, and he can hardly speak, and he can hardly walk. But he still has God down inside. And one day he'll lay this house of clay down like you and I, and we will wing our way to the third heaven where I want to be right now. And it's only because of Jesus Christ. I will keep repeating that name through this message. There is only one name on the face of mankind, on the lips of mankind, that is worthy, and that is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will say this to you. Christianity is not about church. It's not about giving out gospel tracts. It's not about winning the lost to Jesus Christ. Christianity is about Jesus Christ and Him alone. And we've gotten over that. I had the flu a couple times in 61 years. I'm 61 years old. I'll be there in a few days. 61. I feel like Rip Van Winkle. I feel like I fell asleep. And 40 years later, woke up and where did the time go? Where'd my hair go? Capacitor. Where'd my hair go? Now, I'm not really totally bald. I just figured I look better bald. My wife said, "You look good bald." So I try to please my wife. Most of the time. Let me say this to you, beloved. Those of you who are saved men, and I'm going to say something about my wife here. I recently read a book on, if you'll remember, Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North of the Reagan administration and the Iran-Contra scandal. And I'll never forget watching Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North sit there, save man, by the way, sit there in full military dress before the United States pitiful politicians of Congress. By the way, God knows where every one of them lives. He knows where every one of them lives. He knows their name. He knows how many children they've got. He knows how many grand... You think God's not in control? Give me a break, beloved. Oh, by the way, those of you who are clock-eyed still, let me get my watch out here. Okay. That's for all you clock-eyed Christians, all right? I didn't say cock-eyed, I said clock-eyed. I read a book recently on the special ops, special operation forces. Soldiers that go in and do do really the specialized work of things that most Americans never ever hear about, because their names are never spoken of, and they're special ops. So many times when they go in, the duties that they're given are so special that they never get into the newspaper. But many times stories come out years later after men have retired. But Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North wrote a book recently, because he's still actively involved in Iraq and Iran right now with our military. But he wrote a book, and he dedicated it. The special ops soldier is called a shadow warrior. They work in the shadows. You never know their name. You never really know what they are doing, even though it is of the highest importance. But he dedicated this book to his wife, Betsy. I'm going to ask my wife to do... Would you just stand, honey? My wife's got a bad leg right now. I want you to look back at these people. No, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Because we will soon be married 42 years. Yeah. And I'm going to say something to every one of you men who have a saved wife. You say, but you don't know my wife. You don't... Let's stop that stuff. Let's just right now lay that stuff down, all right? Let's lay it down. You know what keeps us together? We sit at a table in the morning, and I'm reading my Bible, and she's reading her Bible. And all of a sudden she says, honey, look at this verse in Job chapter 42. And I'll look at it, and I'll say, ooh, that's a good one, and we'll comment on it a little bit. And then I'll be reading along, and I'll say, honey, Look at Luke chapter 10. What a wonderful statement Jesus made about Mary. You can have any kind of marriage seminar you want to have. Let me tell you something. The thing that has kept I'm not an easy man to live with. There's a lot of times the black cloud just rolls over my head, man. I could be right in the middle of something wonderful, and that stinking black cloud of doubt, the devil, just comes and sits right over my head. And I have to say, Lord, where'd that black cloud come from? Let me tell you who has watched my back for 42 years. This is my beloved. My Savior is my beloved. But He gave me this woman 42 years ago. We weren't even saved at the time. We were high school sweethearts. But we came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and God worked in her life and worked in mine. This woman, this shadow warrior, has watched my back for 42 years. You may sit down, love it. Some of us have forgotten what it was like when we were lost. I'm going to preach a little bit here today. Who is that? Who's back there? Justin, this title of this thing is titled One Thing. One Thing. We're going to look at some scripture where it just says one thing. Do you know how complicated life gets? Hey, we're friends. I've watched some of your loved ones die, get cancer, die. I've watched children get hurt. I've watched marriages just implode. Been betrayed a couple times in those 32 years. And you know what? I want to stand here and tell you, God is good. And anything that comes across the threshold of your door, the door of your life, let me say this to you, because I'm a saved man, only by the pure grace of God, that unmerited favor, God does not allow anything to come into your life or mine as sons and daughters of God to destroy you. He is conforming. But even in that conforming process, you know what He does? He draws you to Himself. You know where I am at the age of 61? I get up in the morning and say, Father, would You not raise the great wing of Your arm so that I can hide under the shadow of Your wing today? Would You not put me into the cleft of the rock of Jesus Christ? I know I'm there, Lord. Would You not hide me today? Would You not let me walk in the Spirit today? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then I need to get moving here. Father, thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I've got so much on my heart today. It's just one thing to be around friends. People that we have gone to the wall with. But Lord, we need You today. We don't need more messages. That's a good thing. I don't need more church, Lord. I can actually go through the motions and people wouldn't even know I was doing it. But I do know what I need today, Father. I need the presence of the personage of the Lord Jesus Christ. I need the Holy Spirit of God to do something in my mind and my heart and through my mouth today that we absolutely need as God's people. Forgive me, Father, where I have made my life a clutter and a confusion because I got my eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ. I forgot what it was like to be lost. Years go by and I start to do things in the flesh. And I learned this thing called church work. And somehow the Spirit of God just, because He's a gentleman, Father, He never forces Himself on my life. Lord, all things being equal, I'm in my last season. And Lord, there's some people here that have just started their first season. They need Jesus Christ as much as I do. I'm asking You, Spirit of God, to take this damaged piece of clay that You chose to save 40-some years ago and use it just one more time. We ask these things in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen. Let me, if you've got your Bible there in Psalm chapter 27, I want to read something to you just initially. Howard Rutledge was a Vietnam veteran. And he was shot down over Vietnam. And just, if you just permit me to read, he parachuted into a little village and he was immediately attacked. He was stripped naked and he was in prison. And for the next 7 years, he endured brutal treatment. His food was little more than a bowl of rotting soup with a glob of pig fat, skin, hair, and all. Rats the size of cats, he's writing this, rats the size of cats and spiders as big as his fists scurried around him. He was frequently cold, alone, and tortured. He was sometimes shackled in excruciating positions and left there for days. He many times stayed in his own waste. Carnivorous insects bored holes into oozing sores. And he writes, how did he keep his sanity? He wrote the book in the presence of mine enemies. And Rutledge gives a powerful testimony as to the importance of Scripture. Here's an excerpt, or some of them. He says, now the sights and the sounds and smells of death were all around me. My hunger for spiritual food soon outdid my hunger for a steak. Now I wanted to know about the part of me that will never die. Now I wanted to talk about God and Christ and the church. But in the Heartbreak Hotel of Vietnam, solitary confinement, there was no pastor. There was no Sunday school teacher. There was no Bible. There was no hymnal. There was no community of the believers to guide and sustain me. I had completely neglected the spiritual dimension of my life. It took prison to show me how empty life is without God. And so I had to go back in my memory to those Sunday school days in Tulsa, Oklahoma. If I couldn't have a Bible or a hymnal, I would try to rebuild them in my mind. I tried desperately to recall little snippets of scripture, sermons, and gospel choruses from childhood, and the hymns that we sang in the church. The first 36 songs were relatively easy, he said. Every day I tried to recall another verse or a new song, and one night there was a huge thunderstorm, and it was the season for the monsoons, the rains, the heavy rains in Vietnam. He said a bolt of lightning knocked out the lights and plunged the entire prison into darkness. It had been going, he says, over some hymn tunes in my mind. And I stopped to lie down and sleep when the rains began to fall. The darkened prison echoed with wave after wave of water. And suddenly I was humming my 37th song, one I had entirely forgotten from my childhood. Showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round me are falling, but for the showers we plead. I no sooner had recalled those words than another song popped into my mind, and the theme song of a radio program my mother listened to when I was just a kid. Heavenly sunshine, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, Jesus is mine. Most of my fellow prisoners were struggling like me to rediscover faith, to reconnect to a workable moral value system. 7 years. Harry Jenkins lived in a cell nearby me during my captivity, he says. And often we would use those priceless seconds of communication in a day to help one another recall scripture verses. One day I heard him whistle. And when the cell block was clear, I waited for his communication, thinking it had been some important news. I got a new one, Jenkins said. I don't know where it comes from. It just came into my mind and why I even remember it. But it's the story about Ruth and Naomi. He then went on to tell that ancient story of Ruth following Naomi into a hostile new land and finding God's presence. Remember, the book is called In the Presence of Mine Enemies. But he found the presence of God. Listen to this. He says, we lived off of that story. No Bible, no pastor, no hymnal, no church. Just something in their mind about God. We lived off of that story for days, rebuilding it, thinking about what it meant and applying God's ancient words to our predicament. Everyone knew the Lord's Prayer, the 23rd Psalm. It became the camp favorite. With Harry's help, I even reconstructed John 3:16, he says, was one that everybody seemed to know. He says, with Harry's help, I even reconstructed the 17th and the 18th verse. How I struggled to recall those scriptures and hymns. I had spent my first 18 years in a Southern Baptist Sunday school in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I was amazed how much I could recall. Regrettably, I had not seen the importance of memorizing the Word of God or learning gospel songs. Now when I needed them, it was just too late. I never dreamed that I would spend about 7 years, 5 of them in solitary confinement, in a prison, in North Vietnam or about thinking about one memorized verse. Listen to this. One memorized verse could have made the whole day bearable. One portion of a verse I did remember was this, Psalm 119, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." How often I wished I had really worked to hide God's word in my heart. And I put my mind to work, and every day I planned to accomplish certain tasks. I woke early. I did my physical exercises. I cleaned up as best I could. Then I began a period of devotional prayer and meditation. I would pray, hum hymns silently, quote scripture verses, and think about what that verse meant to me. Listen to this next statement. Remember, we weren't playing games. I'll come back to that thought. The enemy knew that the best way to break a man's resistance was to crush his spirit in a lonely cell. If you have ever been alone, right in the middle of this gigantic big city, do you know what the devil's trying to do? He's trying to crush you. Do you realize how important the fellowship of the saints is? I got with Pastor and Margaret, and I'm like a gushing puppy. He starts a sentence, and I want to finish it for him. I got together with Joe Silvestri, and he came down to, he was passing through, and he, 10 minutes into the house, I mean, I'm wanting to gush, it's not like me. But you know why? Not really had anybody to talk to for 4 years. You can be right with your family. And right in there's a good little church we go to. But we're starting over. And it's like we have nobody to talk to. The enemy knew that the best way was to crush the spirit. In other words, some POWs in solitary confinement, they would lay down in a fetal position and they would die. All this talk in scripture hymns. Now listen to this last statement, and I get into the Word of God. All this talk of scripture and hymns may seem boring to some, but it was the way we conquered our enemy and overcame the power of death and doubt all around us. And some of us have just forgotten how good God is. Some of us have said, you know what? Some of us in our lives just say, oh, it's good to be saved. It's good to be saved. Then let me just live exactly the way I want to live. Let me go to church because that's what we always do. Just like when we were Roman Catholics or lost Baptists or lost Methodists or lost whatever other denomination name you want to stick on it. I don't come here because I have to. I come here because I want to. I want to. I want to touch people's. I want to talk to people. I want you to know how good Jesus Christ has been to me. I want you to know, and I know some of your lives are falling apart right now. And I want to tell you this. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going into any detail. But for the last 4 years, Pat and Debbie Dean's life has almost fallen apart. I have a new appreciation when John wrote in John chapter 1, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. I got a new appreciation for that. I'm not crying in my beer. I'm certainly not going to cry in it. I may drink it, brother, but I'm not going to cry in it. Don't you dare take a sip of that beer, okay? Some of you know we're alcoholics, and you know. But you want to know something? I want to stand here right today and tell you Jesus Christ is the most precious thing that ever walked or existed on the face of this earth. He is my friend. He is my God. He is my King. I bow my knee and say, Lord, whatever you want, it's okay with me. You know He's never led me astray one time. This is the Savior that when Judas Christ, and He knew all things, when Judas betrayed Him and kissed Him on the cheek, Jesus looked over at him and said, friend, been betrayed lately? Could you call that person your friend? Jesus did. Now, I have a hard time with some of that. You know what that proves to me? I still need to learn how to walk in the Spirit. And like Pastor said this morning, I've got too many years behind me. I want to know how to walk in the Spirit. I want Jesus Christ to look down on this man and say, boy, you're getting a hold of it. Just rise up one more time. You're getting a hold of it. Go to Psalm chapter 27 with me. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Now look at verse number 4. One thing have I desired, David writes. Now, we desire a lot of things. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold what? The beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies. Round about me, therefore, will I offer. Look what he says, therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Do you realize how many times David was running from somebody? King Saul, his own children. David says, I want to go into that tabernacle so I can sacrifice the joy that's inside me. I will sing praises unto the Lord. You say, I can't hold a note in a bucket. I can't either. Sing anyhow. This whole voice is getting craggly. I can't hit the notes that I hit 20, 30 years ago. You know what? God doesn't care whether I can hit those notes or not. He said, sing. I don't sing because I know how. I sing because 40-some years ago, God put a song way down inside me. And every once in a while, somebody tries to suppress that song. Even some saints. Ruckman used to say, oh, to live above with the saints we love, all that will be glory. But to live below with the saints we know, ho, ho, that's a different story. Some of us are realizing, you know what? When an old dog said, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, that was some of the best. You better raise that hand, sister. That's my shadow warrior. If nobody else says amen, she... Keep going, brother. Keep going. Keep going. Verse number 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Look at verse number 8. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I love the country. I love sitting under the oak trees. I got a few of them. But you want to know something? Seek my face, Jesus said. Seek my face. Hide not thy face. I want you to notice something. Hide not thy face far from me. David didn't say, Lord, don't hide your doctrine from me. Don't hide. David was concerned about the presence of God in his life. Most of us will go through the motions and people won't even know we're going through the motions because we've been at this thing called churchianity so long. I am fed up to hear with churchianity. If this thing doesn't continue to work for me, it's of no value. If your doctrine, beloved, isn't changing your life for the better, what value is it? If that book is not mending my wicked ways so that my wife and I are growing sweeter and loving more, or more and more each day, spirit, soul, and body, I may be old, but I'm not dead. I like a good kiss every once in a while. We do it in the sink, in front of the sink a lot. We don't do it in the sink. I can't even get in the shower, let alone get in the sink. You know what's funny about this? I can remember watching Mel. Some of you, if you can go back and watch Mel, you know, you end up being a lot like the guy who trained you, probably. I don't know how that works. I can remember Jean shaking her head going, God, he said that. He said that in front of God's people. And I have to show my face to these people. He said that about us. Good Lord. You know what I think? I think it's good to laugh. I do, brother. I didn't see that all the time. And you know what? Sometimes you have to get beat up a little bit in life. And sometimes you have to get beat up a lot to realize. Rex Harrison used to say, old crippled pianist and singer, we had him here years ago, polio, waist down, drag his legs, you know. He said, man, life gets so serious most of the time, you just got to laugh at it. Some of us in this room haven't had fun for ages. Like they say down south, since Moby Dick was a minnow. I've been there. I got a lot of new sayings. You think, Pat Mashanya, you think I had little quotes and quips in my mind? I got a whole book full of them now. After 4 years, I'll give them to you, brother. I'm trying to pay my bills. I'm writing a book like that. You'll be the first one to buy it, brother. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Boy, I tell you, Kevin, you're exactly right. We need to praise Him, brother. We just need to praise Him. I think about the Lord, how good He's been. I was going to North Carolina, going up Route 85, going north up to a pretty good-sized little town with Nathan. We had a job a couple years ago now. Had a job putting some glass on the front of a three-story warehouse in Greensboro. But it was early morning. Nate would pick me up early in the morning. About an hour, 15-minute ride. And the little town above us where we live, Deb and I live, it's called Salisbury. And a little quaint, old, historic town. But I kept noticing there was a sign, a big billboard over the sign, over the side of the road. And, you know, it's dark, like when you are going, and it's dark when you're coming home. So all I saw was the big sign. It said unclaimed freight. And I thought, well, you know, maybe get a little money saved up or whatever. Never happened, but get a little money saved up. I think I'm going to look for a decent chair to sit on. We're sitting on some old beat up wicker chair, and it's okay. It's wonderful. You know, I don't say these things for pity. It's just, you know, I'm telling a story. You got to let me tell a story. Huh? But I never noticed there was a sign underneath the big billboard. Big billboard said unclaimed freight. And it gave an arrow pointing that way. Under the sign, it said damaged goods. And the Spirit of God spoke to my heart that morning and said, don't you ever get over the fact that God took you when you were damaged goods. And you want to know something? I'm two-thirds saved. You understand that biblical principle? I'm two-thirds saved. We're living in this house of clay. And in that respect, we are still damaged goods. And one, you know, I have to realize, you know what, I understand I'm damaged goods. I need to get in the Word of God. I need to walk in the Spirit. But I need to, personally, I need to remind myself of something. When God saved me, He didn't get anything. He got nothing in the deal. He saved you because He looked down upon you and said, they're lost. Think about it. The King of Glory left the regalness of heaven, the splendor of the angels, people praising Him, the angelic beings praising Him all the time. No time up there. They just bowed all the time. Praise, praise, praise. He left someplace He was loved to walk a dirty, dark earth. You know why? He loved you and me. What a Savior. I fear this morning. Here's what I fear, beloved. I fear we have forgotten how wonderful Jesus Christ is and how lost and dark. My God was not booze. My God was not drugs. My God was not women. My God was not all those things that we like to put our stamp on. And some of you were into that. I'm going to be honest with you. That wasn't my God. You know who my God was? I will. I will. I will. I will. I was God. You were not going to tell me what. And I was raised in a born-again, Bible-believing, King James Baptist church. Some of us have forgotten how wonderful Jesus Christ is. Well, I just don't like what He said to me. Do you know who? You know, you know what I could pull on you this morning? Man said it. I cringe every time somebody says stuff like that. I really do. You know, I've been here since day one. I've been here since any of you ever knew there was a Bible-believing Baptist church in this place. I could pull that on you in a heartbeat. You know who I am? I am Pat Dean. Bow down to me, you slaves. Listen to me, beloved. Yeah. We laugh. But you know what some of us are doing? We have forgotten Jesus Christ called us to be servants. Servants. Do you know what I've done for this church? Yeah, do you know what I've done for this church? Do you see where I'm going with all this? This ain't about you and me. This is about Him. This ain't about somebody giving grand money to Rhea. Thank God. Listen, somebody had a mind to work or this place wouldn't be here. But I'm going to tell you something. I can tell you this. Some people fell in love with Jesus Christ to the point that they said, you want to know something? The old man taught me a principle. It keeps ringing, and it's ringing in my mind again. You want to keep it? Give it away. You want to keep it? My beloved wife and I have a new phrase in our life. Eternity is a long time. Eternity is a long time. Oh, but I like my house. I like my house. Would you give it up if God said, I want you to go to Bongo Bongo Land? Well, I never could find Bongo Bongo Land, but it's, Lord, if that's where you want, you know what? Eternity's a long time, right? See, we don't really believe that. Or I wouldn't be holding a grudge against this man, or vice versa. If the Word of God said, do something, even if it went against my own personality, help us, Lord. Help us. Verse number 10. When my father and my mother forsake me. Oh, that's a great verse. Then the Lord will take me up. Do you know what the Lord never does? When you get wounded, or when you just decide, listen, I've had enough of this stuff called Christianity. I ain't reading that book ever again. Close that thing and... You know what the Lord, your Father, the God who saved your soul never does? He never kicks you to the curb. Never. When you get a wayward eye... Now, God never justifies sin. But when you get a wayward eye, men, and you just decide somewhere in your life, by the way, middle age isn't 50. Who in the heck lives to be 100? Middle age is 35, by the way. I guess you do realize that. 70, you got the drift. Like I say, it wasn't my strong suit, but you know what God never does? He doesn't hammer you. He doesn't send, He doesn't send lightning bolts. You know why? I found something out about God's people. Do you know that judgment never really returns anybody to God? Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world. They were already condemned. I came into the world to give them life and life more abundantly. God doesn't kick you to the curb. When you just decide, listen, I've had enough of God, I've had enough of this, I'm going to do it my own way, blah, 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 blah. I got into sin, I could care less. I don't care, I don't even want to be a good husband to her anymore, let me go find some other skirt. She says, I don't want this bald-headed, decrepit little man anymore. Let me go find somebody who's tall, dark, and handsome like I always wanted. Do you know what God doesn't do? He's very patient. And He doesn't throw you under the bus or kick you to the curb. He just says, that still, small voice. Do you know God doesn't shout like Pat Dean? God doesn't do that. I'm not even going anywhere with this message where I want to go, but that's okay. You know what God, you get over there, talks about secrets. You know God doesn't tell His strangers secrets. He comes up to His people. And you know, when you tell somebody a secret, you don't tell it like this. Because it's a secret. God, you know what God does? He gets real close to you. And He says, Mike, I just want you to know I love you. Some of us have forgotten how much God loves us. Because maybe we're right in the middle of a heartache. There's a pipeline, by the way. There's an information pipeline that goes from Staten Island, 6200 Amboy Road, to 960 Highway 153, China Grove. I may not be here in body, but I have a pretty good idea what's going on. And I'm a nobody. But I will say this. This is my beloved church. When I come in here, I want to take off these boots because you're on hallowed ground. Oh, beloved. Look, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Look at verse 13 and 14. I had fainted. Unless, I've often said this to all of our people here, this because it was said to me so often as a young Christian, just rise up one more time. I don't know how the trumpet's going to sound. Probably, I hope it doesn't sound like that. Okay. Mel used to say, just about the time I throw in the towel and say, I quit! The trumpets sound, and now I go up and lose everything. You see, if this thing isn't working for me, what good is it? This is stupid. I'm going to be honest with you. Just what we're doing here today, if it's not of God, if the Holy Spirit isn't real, if that Bible isn't true, this is nuts. No, I mean, come on, just evaluate what we're doing. You're listening to this 61-year-old, short, overweight man preach his guts out. For what reason? Well, let me tell you something. Right in the middle of your heartache, my God is bigger than. There's a song that the choir down in Kannapolis, Piedmont Baptist Church, Bible Believing Church, sings. And one of the lines is, my God is bigger than, and they go on. You know why I wear this? That's my 9-year-old grandson. We're on that job. Steffi calls Matt and says, John's just not acting right, babe. He just won't get off the couch. He's complaining about stomach ache. Now, boys are boys. They get outside, they play, they forget that they got to go to the bathroom. You know, I raised 3 boys. You know, I am male. I know how we think. Girls, totally opposite. I watch our little girl. I watch Emmy. Man, when she's got to go to the bathroom, she doesn't care if the Pope's sitting there, man. I'm going to the bathroom. John's not like that. So Matt said, don't worry about it. I'll get home. We did our 12-hour day, pack up the tools, head home with him. I get a call. We get a call a couple hours later and says, Dad, I got to take John to the hospital. Okay, what's the problem? Don't know, Dad. Probably calls me Pop. Don't know, Pop. They're in that hospital for an hour. I get another call. We get another call. They're taking John to Levine Children's Hospital in Charlotte, North Carolina. They think there's a growth in his stomach. They get him there, and you know the story. He's got Burkitt's lymphoma. He's 7 years old. He was born 35 days after those towers went down. When there was death and darkness and desperation all around us, God put a little boy in our life and just lit up our lives. He goes through chemotherapy. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's the strangest thing. I've never had this happen before. I got the overwhelming desire to praise God. I know some of you, your heart is breaking now. I'm hearing some of the stories. But right in the middle of that heartache, I wanted to sing. I wanted to shout. Because let me tell you what came to me. Do you know what God did? I said this to Matt. I said, Matt, listen to me. Do you know what God just did for us? He entrusted us with a heartache. I'd have laid down my life for that boy. Some of our people here have died from cancer. Lord knows my heart. I'd have laid down my life for some of our beloved people that have gone home to be with the Lord. Really. I look at my life and always say, you want to know something? I'm expendable. She's not expendable. He's not expendable. But I got an overwhelming desire. They had a prayer service at church that Sunday morning. They asked me to pray. So obviously this grandfather, in his emotional way, started to pray. But I got overwhelmed with God that day. That God had entrusted us with a heartache. And after I'd said amen, some people at the end of the service came up and said, Brother, you never asked God to heal your grandson. And I didn't. You know why? Because an old man taught me a principle from the Word of God when I was a young Christian that said, if you won't keep it, give it away. And 5 months of chemotherapy, and the boy's 9 years old now, and he survived. And after the whole thing was over, the Lord spoke to my heart again from the Word of God. And if the Lord said, listen, I never intended to take him. I just wanted to see if you'd be willing to give him away. And him and I are like buddies. He's the only one of the ten that calls me Papa. I wear that name like a badge of honor. And some of you are right in the middle of a heartache. And I want to tell you something. One thing. Jesus Christ is saying, I just want you to do one thing. I want you to go back and I want you to look at verse number 4. One thing. You know what our lives? Our lives get so stinking complicated. David was a king. And David's life got so complicated. There were times, if I look across the page, and I'm looking at chapter 25 and verse 17, he says, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Do you know how many times David and Asaph and other writers in the book of the Psalms talks about troubles and being overwhelmed? That word overwhelmed appears many times. And you know what I have to do when I get in the middle of troubles and heartache, and all of a sudden what you had in your mind didn't materialize, and God said, listen, you just had to learn some things. And everything's all right. You know, we'll stand in the house. We'll stand in the house and she'll look off. I'll be washing. I wash dishes a lot now. It's therapy. It's therapy. She does the cooking. I don't know how to boil water. Okay? But I can wash dishes. So I figure, okay, she's a wonderful helpmeet and my shadow warrior. She does all the cooking. And, you know, we got a dishwasher, but seldom use it. It's like there's only two of us. So I wash the dishes. And all of a sudden, I'll just stop and I realize somebody's watching me. And I'll look over and she'll be staring at me. And all of a sudden, I'll look at her and say, everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's. Do you know everything's all right in the Father's house? I've told the boys, when God dies, then I got major problems. As long as God's on the throne and I'm seeking His face, I don't have a problem in the world. Right, sister, right? That's God's truth. One thing have I desired, that I might be in the house of the Lord. Let me go back and read it. And I'll tell you what, it's 12 o'clock and we're going to quit. And I want you to know something. I knew I was going to do this. I haven't gotten to any of my notes. I haven't learned much and I'm probably not getting any better at what I did learn. But I want to tell you something. Young couples, old couples. Matthew said to me the other day, Dad, does it get any easier the older you get? I said, what planet have you been living on? You've been hanging out with your dad for the last 4 years. We've been working together shoulder to shoulder. I've been laid off since February. Okay, ran out, the business kind of tanked a little bit, and Nate had to lay me off. No big deal. No big deal. First time, and I've been working W-2 since I was 16. It's the first time in my life I ever got laid off from a job. No big deal. It's God's truth. Come on now. God's either real or isn't. He either owns the cattle on 1,000 hills or He doesn't. The book's either right or it's wrong. Make a choice today. It's like Joshua said, choose. He has never, has, sweetie, my beloved, has He ever failed us once? Get that hand high. Has He ever failed us once? No. I fail Him every day. I don't wake up saying, oh, let me just fail God today. I don't wake up doing that. Neither do you. But somewhere along in the day, I let the old man out of the box. I'll stand in front of that mirror, shaven. And the devil says to me as I look in the mirror, just pick up that piece of baggage that you used to love to carry one more time. Pick it up. You realize that what that boy said to you? Just pick up that baggage of anger. Pick up that baggage of bitterness. Pick up that baggage of jealousy. Pick up that baggage of unconfessed sin. Pick up that baggage. Do you know what I mean to this church? Let me tell you what. You don't mean anything to this church. It ain't about you and me. It's about Him. I move at His beck and call. Do you know who I am? I'm one of the bricks. You said it, brother. I'm one of the bricks in the mortar. God help us. I know what you're saying, brother. I'm one of the bricks. Yeah, I'm one of the bricks. I'm as dumb as dirt is what I am. God ought to ended my life long time ago. Somebody would say, I don't know where I'd be if I hadn't found Jesus. Let me tell you what. I know where I'd be if Jesus hadn't found me. I'd be one of two places today. I'd either be in hell, never ever to get out. Or I would be so full of disease and debauchery, we wouldn't be married. I'd have chased every skirt that walked the face of this earth. I'm just telling you like it is. Men, that's how we're wired. And the devil says, just pick that piece of baggage up. And the Spirit of God says, no, no, no. You don't touch that baggage anymore. Walk away from it. And I walk away from it. If I'm a drunk, never forget Pete Nugent saying that. He had a problem with booze out west, pastors that church out west. He said, you know what? I had a problem with booze. And I came to know, have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he said, I had to find a different way of going home from work. Because the way I went home always went by the bars that I loved so much. And I'm not telling you, you can't do this, can't do that. You can't wear glasses like that. You can't have a bald head. You got to wear a suit to church, blah, blah, blah. Whoever told you that kind of stuff? But you want to know something? I know my weaknesses. And I want to walk in the Spirit. But there's some things way down deep inside of me that you never see. Pride, jealousy, anger, bitterness, wrath, clamor. All those things that are way in this flesh. And the Spirit of God says every day, let it go. Take what you know to be true and say, Lord, I just want to see you do it one more time. If you can explain it, God didn't do it. When I came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ at the age of 20, it was, I did not go to church that morning believing I'm going to get saved this morning. I'm just a good Baptist. That's what Baptists do. It's like being a good Catholic. That's what we do. We're born a Baptist, we die a Baptist. And the Spirit of God did something that I cannot explain to you, brother. Like He did in your heart. In your heart. And some of you He did it as children. Thank God, I got saved grandchildren. But I had tasted enough stuff. And when I got saved, God did something that I could not ever get over. He changed by the way I think and the way I... He gave me such a hunger for the Word of God. He deserves all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. And you know what He says? You know what He says to us? Just seek My face. Come on, bro, get close to me. Just seek My face, He says. That's all He says. He says, just get close to me. But we want to play church. Howard Rutledge said, we weren't playing games. I got to quit. I had a great message. I love this message. I'll save it. Preach it some other time. Yeah, I preach it. Somebody said, oh, you don't preach anymore. I got news for you. I preach to myself. I preach to her. I preach to you all the time, right? Yeah. I get a drunk and a stump, you know. If some bird flies in the backyard, I'll preach to that bird. I don't care. Because something is down inside of me. that cannot be contained. And it's the personage of Jesus Christ. I just get overwhelmed with Him. Yeah. Somebody says, well, you get overwhelmed with the blessings. Oh, hey, man, the blessings are wonderful. But you want to know something? It's way beyond the blessings now. I am just over. I'm going to stop and say this to you. I do not read the Word of God anymore for information. I did that as a young man. You have to know the Word of God. You have to get what's in there. You have to get good doctrine. I've got my good doctrine. I've had it under my belt for quite a few years. I don't read my Bible for information. I read my Bible to see the face of God. I read my Bible because I want to make sure that there's hope. I've read the last chapter. I know how this thing ends. And it doesn't end with the Republicans or the Democrats or the Independents or the Tea Party or whatever. It doesn't end with that. It ends with Jesus Christ on the throne.
Amen. Amen.
And I get to be there.
Amen.
And if you're saved, so do you.
Amen.
Oh, God is good. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to ask Pastor to come at this time, and he can take whatever he wants to do at this point.
All right, let's just keep our heads bowed and eyes closed for a moment.